This is Mark Strassman, reporter with Broadband Over Powerline World. We're about to speak to Cliff Hauser, who is the section manager for part of ARRL Arizona. Welcome to Broadband Over Powerline World.
Thank you.
We're going to talk about a test in Cottonwood, Arizona.
That is correct.
Where, for people who are either in Arizona and don't know about it or who aren't even in Arizona, where's Cottonwood?
Cottonwood is approximately 80 miles north by northwest of Phoenix.
Okay. Is it anywhere near Sedona?
Cottonwood is south of Sedona by about 20 miles.
All right. So we could also worry about the harmonic convergence interfering with radio transmissions too, couldn't we?
I don't think we have anything to worry on that area.
Okay. Well, let's talk about what really happens. What can you tell us about the company or companies that are organizing this BPL trial in that area?
There is a company, and I don't have the name with me. I have most of my stuff at the Robert Shipton does that.
Right.
So keeps me informed on that. But what it is one company is experimenting with broadband over power lines, which is basically using the power lines to transmit and receive internet communications by using your power lines instead of using a separate coax cable.
And do you know for how long they've been running the trial?
They've been running this trial for a little over a year right now.
Okay, and is
off and on, not continually, but off and on.
And how big an area is the experiment involving?
Right now it's just about a quarter of a mile overhead for power lines, and then about a quarter of a mile underground, and then that comes up underground and goes into the school, which is their primary customer right now, is this one school.
What, do you know what school it is?
No, I don't have the name of the school right now.
Okay. Elementary school, high school?
It's an elementary school.
Okay. Now, there's an old saying, of course, if a tree falls in the forest and no one hears it, it's hard to say whether there's a sound or not. Are there a lot of amateur radio operators along that quarter mile in Cottonwood, Arizona?
Side by side to that quarter of a mile, there are two of them.
Oh, okay.
In the whole Cottonwood area, there's probably 50 active amateur radio operators.
Is that kind of average for Arizona or above average?
It's about average for a small community. Here in the Tucson area, we have about 3,100.
3,100 active ham operators?
Yes.
Okay.
In Phoenix, of course, there's a larger number.
All right. So tell us what you personally did as your involvement in testing to see whether or not this area that had this experimental BPL installation was giving off harmful interference.
Last July, I went with Mr. Ed Hare from ARRL headquarters up there, and we did some experimentation, and he did some measurements.
Okay, what kind of tools did you use to do the measurements?
He had an oscilloscope and a calibrated antenna and a calibrated receiving equipment.
Okay, and what did you do to
standard laboratory equipment that he's been using back at Newington?
Tell us a little bit about who he is and where he fits into all this.
Ed Hare is a technical editor or technical person for ARRL headquarters. He's responsible for doing all the technical measurements of new equipment, old equipment, RF design, antenna design that people submit to be advertised in ARRL. So he is a very, very technically oriented person.
And he has a lot of experience.
Lots of experience, and a lot more than I have.
And his main job is testing equipment that people propose to sell to ham radio operators.
That is correct. No, people propose to advertise in QST, and if they want to sell, they can send a piece of equipment to him, and he will do a non-biased test of the piece of equipment.
Okay, so
it is not required that they send the equipment to him.
So he's like an underwriter's laboratory in a way for ARRL.
That is correct.
Okay, so that it was just the two of you in this expedition?
There was a total of four of us. Ed Hare and myself, and two people from Verde Valley, the Verde Valley Amateur Radio Club, that have been monitoring the BPL situation up there, and doing their own measurements.
Okay, and when did you do these measurements?
That was in July of last year, July 4th, 3rd, 2nd, July 2nd, Thursday, of, July 2nd.
Of 2003?
Of 2003, yes.
Okay, and what were the procedures that you used to do the tests?
We would go to a specific spot along the power lines, and we were approximately, I'm getting my mind straight here, about 30 feet away from the power line.
30 diagonally up or out?
No, it's parallel with the power line. It's on a road.
So if you drew vertical lines, there'd be 30 feet between you and the power lines.
That is correct.
And what did you find?
Well, he did his measurements, and he found S7 or above signals on various portions of the band which exceed Part 15 of the FCC regulations.
Okay, let's get some definitions here. What are these S levels? What do they refer to, and how do you measure them?
I'm not a technical person, and I'll just give you from a non-technical person.
That's fine.
An S0 signal is a perfect where there is no noise whatsoever coming into the receiver.
Okay.
That is almost impossible to get. As the noise gets higher, we have up to S7, 10, 20, etc., where we call basically an S20 signal is a maximum signal that a receiver can have and nothing else can get into it.
Is that scale arithmetic, multiplicative, or exponential?
No, it's a logarithmic.
It's logarithmic. So 7 is 10 times stronger than 6?
No, 7 is 3 times, 3 dB, twice the power. 3 dB.
Oh, each level is twice as big as the last one.
That's correct.
Okay. So, and what are the acceptable levels that need to be present for a ham operator to operate successfully?
There is no acceptable level.
Okay.
The problem is we as amateur radio operators operate in various emergency conditions from around the world.
Right.
The stronger the noise, the less likely we are to hear a weak station during an emergency.
Okay.
During an emergency, of course, you'll know that there's usually no power, so the guys on the other station around the wherever he's at in the rest of the world is on generator or battery-operated equipment.
Right.
Therefore, he doesn't have a lot of power. So he's putting out a weak signal to begin with, and the higher the noise, the less likely we are to hear him.
Okay. So what could you say in general terms about what levels would make it impossible to do much useful work?
To my house here in Tucson, anything above an S7 is impossible to work a standard station from around the world.
Okay.
Now, of course, you have the stations that have a lot of power that have huge, big home systems that would have no trouble getting through, but you're out of the way stations, your emergency stations, we would never hear them here.
And how important a part of the amateur radio world is this listening for distant stations in emergencies?
Very important. When you have earthquakes in Mexico, earthquakes in Turkey, the only means of communication out of those countries for the first 24 to 48 hours is usually by amateur radio.
Without getting into too much of the physics, is it possible in Tucson to hear people in Mexico and Turkey who are broadcasting with their local stations?
Yes, it is. We worked several years ago when Mexico had the big earthquake.
Right.
That shut everything down. It was the people in Arizona, New Mexico, and Texas that were handling all the Red Cross traffic until emergency people could get communications set up.
Okay, let's get back to Cottonwood now. We've got a little background, and explain what the findings were of your tests.
The findings were that the BPL signal itself over several portions of the amateur band, and I cannot give you the exact thing because I did not keep the results.
Right.
The signals were S7 or above, right next to the power lines or within a quarter of a mile of the overhead power line.
Now, did that fluctuate? Was that sort of like the background level, and it spiked up when the signals were going through, or is that how it was all the time?
When the BPL or when the internet signal was present, that's what the our field strength meter detected.
Did you have access to the computers in the school to know when they were turning them on or off, or could you tell by the signals you were getting?
We could tell by the signals whether they were on or off.
And whenever they were on, you had an S7
or above.
Or above.
That is correct.
Okay. Now, you said you didn't know the name of the company that's running the test. Do you know anything about any communications between ARRL or other ham organizations in Arizona with the companies running it? Have they made any complaints to the company?
I have a file at work that I keep there because that's where I usually do most of my calling from in the afternoon. It's about an inch thick of communications between the Verde Valley Amateur Radio Club, the company, the FCC, and the FCC and the company.
And what's the overall drift of those communications?
There's two schools of opinion.
Right.
The opinion of the people that are doing the BPL experimentation says their signals fall, and their measurements conclude that the signals fall within the Part 15 of the FCC regulation.
Does the Part 15 of FCC regulations say anything about S7?
The Part 15 gives a field strength of how much, a specific distance, how much that signal should cannot exceed.
And is that the same standard as the S7?
I can't tell you that because most radios are calibrated internally. And they're calibrated usually within plus or minus 15%, which is a huge percentage in a case like this.
So I guess I'm trying to find out whether the readings that you got, how those correspond to what the limits the FCC says are in place.
I can't correlate those. You would have to talk with Mr. Ed Hare of ARRL. Or Robert Shipton of Verde Valley, because they have a big file of the stuff that they took with calibrated equipment.
Okay, so you said there were two ways of looking at the data.
Yes, the industry that's running the BPL says their measurements conclude they're within the specifications of the FCC Part 15. Verde Valley has taken their measurements with certified equipment and says no, they're not.
So is the question what the levels are, or is the question what the levels are and or do those levels exceed what Part 15 says can't be exceeded?
The difference is not what the levels are supposed to be, because Part 15 is very specific on that in the FCC, and I don't have the FCC rule book here to give you that. I don't have my information.
But all parties seem to agree on what the limits are.
They agree what the limits are. It's just who's doing the measurement as whether they exceed or do not succeed.
And presumably they do measurements and say they don't exceed it, and you do measurements and say their measurements say they're not exceeding it, and your measurements say that they are.
That is correct.
And who's in charge of deciding who's right?
I don't know the answer to that.
Is it the FCC?
The FCC has all letters have been submitted to the FCC, and the FCC, at last word I received, was reviewing the situation and reviewing the documentation.
Do you know how long they've been reviewing them for?
Probably for the last 4 or 5 months.
Okay. So you're in Tucson, Arizona.
That is correct.
And the people who are most involved in this are the Verde Valley people?
Yeah, Verde Valley Amateur Radio Club.
And that's Mr. Shipton. And
Robert Shipton is a technical person for that club, yes.
Okay, and Mr. Hare is affiliated with the national organization.
He is an employee of the American Radio Relay League in Newington, Connecticut.
Okay, so as things now stand, what's happening up there?
Right now, we're still waiting on the FCC to issue their ruling on who is right.
Have they told you when they're going to issue a ruling?
No, they have not.
Okay. So, what are the amateur radio operators up there doing?
They're trying to work around it as best they could and continue the monitoring of the signal by going out. I think they said they were going out about once every 3 weeks now to see if anything's changed.
Now, there's something I've learned about in doing these reports called notching, which the FCC encourages people to do. The BPL companies say they do, and the ARRL people seem to say it doesn't make any difference. Is there any of that going on up there in Cottonwood?
They have tried notching, and I'm not sure, notching the amateur radio band out, but I don't know what the results were.
Okay. Any other things about how vociferous and well organized the ARRL people in Arizona are, and how important this is to them?
They are well. We are. It's very important to us here. That's why we're monitoring this, continually monitoring the situation, and submitting the necessary paperwork. Now, do you know they have a website that all this paperwork is on?
Yeah, I've been. The ARRL does.
No, Verde Valley does.
Oh, Verde Valley does. Yes, actually, I think I've been there, and I'm going to link to that in this story.
Yes, and they've all their paperwork and all the documentation is on that website.
Okay.
And include all the measurements, showing the measurements, all the files and everything, both sides, not just one side, but both sides.
Could you address two other issues that have come up in this discussion? The first is that some people on the BPL side say that amateur radio operators are against the Internet somehow and don't want people to have Internet access. How valid a criticism is that?
Well, that is absolutely, how you want to say, ludicrous.
Right.
Because one, I have a computer here.
Right.
90% of all your active amateur radio operators use the computer for various different reasons.
So they're in no sense an anti-technological crowd.
No. The only problem is the frequencies they're trying to use for BPL. What to use an internet connection, you need broad frequency spectrum.
Right.
The higher you go in frequency, the less percentage this broad frequency takes over the total area of frequency. That's why most internet connections you will find use from about 150 or above megs, 150 megs or above. A lot of them use the gigahertz area, which takes very small bandwidth to run a good quality internet connection.
And so the problem is intrinsic to putting broadband over power lines?
It's just because of the frequencies they're using.
Can they use different frequencies?
I don't know if they can or not. I really don't. I'm with Comcast. Comcast uses a very high frequency that doesn't interfere with any amateur radio operation. In fact, doesn't even interfere with telephone or any other communications that I know about.
Because in part because it's shielded.
That is correct.
Okay. Now the other another point made by some proponents of BPL against amateur radio operators is to say that amateur radio operations are an antique remnant of bygone technological eras, and people just should get over it and forget about it. What do you say about that?
Yes and no. With modern communications, satellite, radio, television, everything else like that, and on a day-to-day basis, you're probably correct. But the problem is emergency communications. During the Northridge earthquake of California of 94,
right,
communications was lost with telephones because, one, all the satellite antennas switched direction and could no longer stay in contact with the satellite because of the earthquake.
Right.
Telephone lines and went down because power went out because of the earthquake. The only means of communications in and out for the first 24 hours of the Northridge earthquake out of California was amateur radio.
Okay, well, I don't want to be too cute about this, but if there's an emergency like that, wouldn't that take down the power lines and eliminate any interference from broadband over power line from that source?
I don't know. The broadband over power line could continue to operate without the power lines being functional because they use their own power systems and radio systems.
You mean if the electricity stopped flowing, the internet connectivity could still flow?
Yes, it could.
And in that case, it could interfere with the radio operators.
Correct, because what they're using is they're using the wire on the power lines and not the power lines, not the power in the power lines.
The signal doesn't really ride on the power; it rides on the lines.
That is correct.
Okay. All right. Well, this has been very instructive, and I hope also for our audience. Why don't you just wrap up for us by summarizing where you think things are and what the amateur radio operators in Arizona would like to see happen next.
Well, what most amateur radio operators would like to see is this: the BPL in its present state does not get expanded or does not take hold. And notice I said in its present state. I think the industry could come up with something using the type of power lines as antennas but using different frequencies, I think would be a better source and not interfering with the HF portion of the amateur radio.
Is there any reason why they couldn't just use different frequencies?
I don't know that. You would have to ask them.
I will as soon as I can get in touch with them.
But if they would use different frequencies and get away from the HF portions, I think it would be a more efficient of an operation for them. Remember that you also have in the HF portion of the radio spectrum, you have broadcast people from around the world that use HF. You have the Army, the Navy, the Air Force, the Department of Defense uses long-range communications in HF spectrum.
So it's not just amateur radio operators.
No, it's not just amateur radio. It covers government also.
Okay.
That's interfering with.
Finally, are you satisfied with the way the FCC has been responding to all this so far?
Yes and no. I would like to see what I would like to see is the FCC put a hold on it until BPL people industry can work within the guidelines of the existing amateur radio. Within the existing regulations. The problem is the FCC, and I have to agree with the FCC in this portion. They are looking out for the future of the country, and there is a lot of people that could possibly have internet access that would not otherwise have it if this went through.
And that's of concern also to the ARRL.
That is concern also because you're opening by doing this, you're opening up a portion for other things too. But I just think that using the HF portion of the spectrum for this is not an efficient way of using this type of technology.
Okay, now do you know anything about the relationship between the amateur radio operators in Arizona and this company, whether they've been talking to each other or not?
Yes, they talk back and forth all the time. What are the results of that talk? I cannot tell you.
Okay, well, we'll continue to try to find out. And in the meantime, I want to thank you very much for talking to us on Broadband Over Powerline World and wish you and everybody involved in this good luck in the future.
Yeah, remember, I'm the non-technical person.
Yes, you've done a fine job anyway.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.